Father in heaven, we thank you again for the song service, Lord, for these who've turned aside the things of the world to be in the house of God. The greatest thing we have is a time to give to us, and they give your time today to be here as we sit around your precious word. I pray, Holy Spirit, the study has been that which in turn you could lead and guide, direct, and through me. In fact, I yield to thee, and also they listen today that we may learn something about ourselves. And again, we thank you for this day. Bless every dad that's here, and one who are here to broadcast today. Lord, either through the radio or through Ustream, or may hear it later sometime or another, and help us find our place before thee to understand a privilege to serve you, but what a privilege it is also when you bless us with a family and bless us with children. Please help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. And I like to read this. This has 25 verses in it, and it's kind of hard to maybe take time to read all of it. If I do, I'll read speedily on some and slow down on others. But the book of Proverbs is a book that God gives us insight about living. It shows about wisdom. It shows us of wickedness. It shows us that which has to do in life. It gives information that Solomon gives to his son. Really, it's God given through Solomon to all the sons down through the years who will become dads and so forth, which benefits not only the son but also the mate, helpmate that God gave a man through Adam and also gave us through marriage. And so it's about knowledge. It's about wisdom. It's about the folly of wickedness and also the wisdom of righteousness. It contrasts between that which is good and that which is evil. And so in chapter 13, each one of these verses has a powerful amount of information in it. When you read the Proverbs, don't read it fast. Read it slow, because every verse has a tremendous, I could call, spiritual meat for us to digest, and in turn would help us when we look at life as a whole. And I get this message today. As I thought about Father's Day, and I've been reading back, if you go over to chapter Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11, you'll find that God gives the church such gifts, and he names it different ways, but he, in this particular time he's talking about gifts. He gives the church, he said, apostles. He gives the church prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now, he doesn't give that from the world. He said, in forth we know those who trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As you're born into the family of God, he activates his word in our heart as we yield to him. And as we submit to him to a certain level of life, he elevates us to positions in the church. See, God knows the position he needs in the church. We don't know that. We have to trust him for it. I mean, God Almighty elevates people and also demotes people at times. And so in a situation like that, a person had to be born again in the family of God if he's going to be in this age, such as an evangelist or a prophet, as we think as one who just, because our prophetic teaching now is what God says already, not something that would be new in the age of grace. He's already got it documented down, or a pastor or a teacher. And so understanding that, and God give that to the church, then all of a sudden they're about dads. Because you can't be this kind of dad unless you're born again. I'm fixing to talk about this morning. I can't be this kind of dad unless I'm born into the family of God. And it's in the family of God that God gives the characteristics. And I call this a godly dad is God's gift to the church. And a godly dad is someone who first knows Christ as Savior and then wants more than just that, to surrender to him for God to use him in a way in life to promote the kingdom of God and be what they want to be in the home. And let's face it, brethren, this morning we heard dads. We fail at times. We're not perfect completely yet. But we want to be better at it now than we were when we first got saved. Because we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And we learn from things. And this morning we'll learn some things, I believe, about what it means to be a godly dad. So in Proverbs chapter 13, we read through quickly a few verses. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A scorner now refuses to listen to that which would correct them. A scorner is one who's disgraceful against that, which would be the best for them. And many times thinking when they choose the worst, they don't see it the worst, they become something other than God would have them to be. So he lays this out. He said, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That's one, I guess, it runs off of the mouth without thinking sometimes. Sometimes the mouth can get ahead of the brain, you know that? You've ever been there? Well, not me, preacher. Well, let me ask somebody. Where we work at. Let's ask somebody. In case of a dad, a mother. In case of a wife. In case of a husband, a wife. There's times that this old flesh gets to the point that it gets out of harness, and thank God the Holy Spirit helps us bring it in harness. He, by the way, he's the only one can do it. You and I don't have the power to bring it in harness. He has to help us bring it in harness. And growing in grace and knowledge does that. And then he goes on, a righteous man, verse 9, keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrow the sinner. They don't even know that. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath riches, great riches. Isn't that something? And you know, sometimes people make themselves rich in certain things, leave God out, and they think maybe even may be deceived that God has blessed him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When you think about God, you have to think about him coming as a father to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been born into the family of God. If a man's unsaved and thinks he's blessed by God, he may be blessed by God for just God letting him live, because he controls the air and the lungs that breathe the air. But Satan can make a person also look like, can make a person see that Satan looks like someone like God. He can transform his angels into ministers of light. So everything you see in this life, Satan has this. In fact, one day, Satan offered Jesus the kingdom of this world if he'd bow down and serve him. You remember that in Matthew chapter 4? Now, he couldn't have done that if he hadn't had the power to do it. Jesus didn't rebuke him. He said, you don't have that power. No, sir. He rebuked him a different way. But what I'm saying to you, Satan has the power to make some people be deceived in this world until it's too late and have to stand before God and realize, hey, what I had, God let me live. And give me, I may have the ability to think, but God didn't bless me. It's like he's talking about blessing his children. You understand what I'm talking about? If not, then I have to leave you confused because I got too much to get in today. He goes on in verse 10, he said, but only the pride cometh contention, but with the well of eyes is wisdom. He said, wealth, got it by vanity, shall be diminished. But he that gathereth, layeth up labor, shall increase. He said, hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of the devil, or snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressor is hard. Ever prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's abomination to fools to depart from evil. Isn't it amazing? He says it to unsaved people, it's abomination to them if they try to depart from evil. And yet, we know evil is abomination to God in a lot of ways. Isn't it amazing how Satan turns things around? I'm not going. I just dropped something. You see, amazing how God, Satan turns things around. Then he goes, so I'm saying, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to the children of children. Isn't that amazing? A good man, not only to his children, but his children's children, that's grandchildren. And he goes on, he said, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chases him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but he said, the belly of the wicked shall want. And then another verse, if you look down in chapter 14 and down about verse 12, he said, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end there are of the ways of death. Not only did he say that one time, but if you look in chapter 16 and verse 25, he said it again. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end there are other ways of death. Now, if there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, then that tells me something I wouldn't have seen before I was saved, because in making decisions, I think I'd make as many good decisions as I make bad decisions. But making decisions, I found out that there is a way that seemeth right. And that's the way the world goes, because Satan don't care how much a person does, if it's wrong, as long as he can get them to think it's right. And so it gets evil, personifies itself, and only the Word of God can turn that around, and only that can happen when a person's heart's been changed because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to call it back again. A godly dad is God's gift to home. A grandson went to the grandparents and stayed with them one weekend. And then while they were at dinner one day, maybe a Saturday afternoon, he was looking at both his grandmother and granddad. And grandmother said to him, said, "Son, what are you looking at?" He stared at him. And he looked a little bit more. And he said, "Do you know, Grandpa and Grandpa, you and God look alike?" And that got grandma's mind. Said, "What? No, I've been looking at you. You and God look alike." And she said, "Well, that's very interesting. How do we look alike?" He said, "You're both very old." Well, aren't you glad to know that God is old in time, yet he's never old in eternity? And aren't you glad to know he's always fresh? And by the way, he'll be fresh this morning if we let him. It's a fact that the presence of God, of a godly dad, is important to the home. There's no doubt about that. To be raised without a godly dad is to know that something was missing. Sometimes you may not be able to tell what it is, but without someone that believes in God to the place that standards are set in the home, because of godly standards over them, help set standards in the home, because you love your home, that you want it to be what God would have it to be. And by the way, that is the husband's responsibility, or the dad's responsibility, according to the Bible. I don't care what the secular world says. He set up a system. And by the way, his system will work when this system is gone. And so you can put it down. It doesn't mean that we're tyrants. It just means that we're leaders. And leaders have to lead instead of being led. And God, and by the way, if we're leaders, we have to also let God lead us in this life. So it's my prayer this morning to be an encouragement to dads. I've thought a lot about this for weeks now. Or this morning, way in the morning session, as I went over the notes again and prayerfully asked God to help me put it together in a way that would be understandable. It's my prayer to be encouraged to dads. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions just a little bit to get where we're at compared to where we used to be, especially if you have any age on you at all. I wonder how many of you walked to and through from school, and you did it when you were even the first grade. You may have had to walk from one end of town to the other. Anyone like that remember those days? I mean, years ago, did you know that the school bus didn't pick you up if you lived in town at all? Now they pick you up if you live right next to the school, I reckon. But then, back then, they wouldn't. If you lived down a dirt road somewhere another mile or so, they wouldn't go down and pick you. You had to go to the main highway. Amen? Well, that'd give you a little bit to understand there are changes being made, aren't they? Some are good, maybe some are bad. How many of you jumped off a platform playing Superman? Some women did that. They were super women, I guess. I mean, listen, you got to keep in mind, when some of us were kids years ago, we didn't have the things you have today to play with. You had to make many of your toys. Amen? Then I say also, how many of you, again, how many of you remember when there was no cell phones or iPads or even televisions? Young folks, we're not that old. You wait till you get to our age, and there are going to be some things you're going to say that you had your children won't remember either. I wonder again, how many of you ever rode in the back of a pickup truck going to work? If you lived on the farm, I guarantee you did. Amen? I know this. How many of you ever sat in the front seat of your front car of a car and your mother and daddy used their right hand as a seatbelt? Not all of us did that. Amen? Well, you say, "Preacher, what in the world is the point of all this?" The point is to actually show the difference between today and probably 60 or 70 years ago. There's a great difference. And I want to give you four quick points about a godly dad is God's gift to the home. The first was this: it's obvious that parenting has changed quite a bit compared to even 50 plus years ago. It's right now understandable that there's some things in correction that our dads could do and did because they loved us. Even now, courts won't let it be done. And I remember the old times used to say, the first time I ever heard someone talk about, well, you know, they'll lock you up today if you whip your children. And I remember hearing some dads say, well, my dad, where I lived at, so they just had to lock me up then. You know what? They won't be sarcastic. They're just saying, hey, I know how much I need to correct my children because their parents corrected them. And correction is something God gives to do. It's not brutality to correct and do it in a loving heart. Today is a different world compared to that a few years ago. Today, we have removed playground equipment off the ground to school because they don't want nobody to get hurt. And so what do? They give them gadgets. They don't get no exercise at all. Unless you play on a sport somewhere or another after school. It's interesting as we look at it. Many schools today forbid the use of red pens so they won't have to hurt anybody's feeling about seeing the paper graded up. Well, I got to say, I had a few had more red on that checks. But I tell you this, when I saw red, I worked hard to correct it. I was slow learning, but I worked hard to correct it. And God showed he could use, and I really believe, Paul, I know he said it first, but I believe God could use me, could use anybody. I really do. When I go back and look at my life. Back in the olden days, you actually had to win a trophy. To win a trophy, you had to win it that you did in the game. Today, you just show up pouting and get one. What are we living at? We need to plant something now in this next generation that will last forever. Proverbs 22, verse 6 tells us, and it's still true, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That's Bible, folks. That's not come from Mickey Mouse stuff. That's God himself, the Holy Spirit, telling us. There's some things that work if you apply it biblically. And one of the things about it is he trained up a child in the way that he should go. So there is a way that's right. And you can't know the way unless you know the way. And you can't train in the way unless you know the way. Don't you understand to see it's more important it's important to get saved, but it's more important after you get saved to learn what God said so we can apply it in our lives so God can raise us up to a level to use us. Let me ask you, there's people, do you want to use to help you do something? You don't go to somebody in terms that don't have the knowledge or don't want the knowledge. You want someone who can help you. Don't you understand that God is the Father is the same for you and I? He wants to know at least this person is willing to submit to me. I can do that for him that he can't do or she can't do. But I won't do it unless they do what I say up first to get that which I'm offered to him or offered to her. And so this life. And we need this if we look at today. Number two, the definition of success that we find in the Bible is very different than success that we find in this modern world. The secular world culture today tells us that success is raising children well, get them a good education, and give them everything they want and make them happy, and they'll be happy kids in life. The secular world points us toward the goal called success, but it gives us the wrong direction to get these before God. And so God is telling us here in these verses and many others, as he wrote this book by his Holy Spirit and in turn kept it for our day, he's got instructions for us that will help us as we live just an ordinary Christian life, obedience to him, and then he raises up to level. There's no way in this world I could ever be here now had I not started in that dry cleaning building. I've learned a lot. You may think I'm dumb, but you only saw me when I started down there. God will train you, folks. He will use you. He will help you anywhere he leads you if you let him. And others may laugh and scorn. That's what he talks about here, make fun of. But you know God did it, and no one else could. And you know that God, you look now, as I've looked, if God don't come back for the church years from now, people look back. You folks right here that's been in this church now will be doing things for them they will not have unless you do it now. Isn't it amazing how God keeps it together? He'll take one generation after another generation and out of that praying what is needed to carry his work on until the last time that we hear the word of God here and the rapture takes place and we hear the trumpet instead of what we hear in this life. So this sounds very good at the first glance. Education is very important in life. If our kids make a high score on the ACT test and do not follow and love Jesus Christ like they should, what point is it? There are some people who say you're out of your mind. Everybody here knows I believe in education. That's the reason when God ever gave us it. We even started years ago, institute here, just back in the other building. Used to have 35, 40 people attend it for a period of time. Then we had to close. We started daycare. Now look at the, you know we believe in education. But we got, listen, education not worth anything unless you know the Lord. Why, preacher? Because when you get education and you use it in this life, and nothing else accomplished, you don't have nothing left. Listen, this life is short compared to eternity. And Jesus said we need to lay up treasures while we're here. And that's what this does when we think about being where we ought to be. It does not matter how successful a child in this world if they are not successful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 8, verse 36 and 37. You know, when Jesus said, what shall a man profit, gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Even Jesus tells us that. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Man, that's a powerful verse of Scripture that Jesus said 2,000 years ago. But wait a minute, preacher. The modern culture says that we should bow down to the altar of happiness and to the altar of joy. We can't get all we can and can't all we get. Well, the problem is with that statement is that God never said for us to be happy. He says for us to be holy. What? Don't he want us to be happy? He knows if we'll be holy, we will be happy. Because it pleases the Father. It's always a joy to please the Father. He does that. By the way, when a child's small, it's a joy for a child to please their earthly father too. You ever seen that? I'll tell you one to break your heart. You have to punish a child for something, you know you had to punish it. And then afterwards they come back and they can't hardly talk. But you understand, they come and say, Dad, Dad, Mama, please forgive me. It'll break your heart. You know what? When you and I go to God the Father, at the time we don't understand what's going on, but we're still trusting Him. When things are good, we're trusting Him. But when things are bad, we're trusting Him. It's like us, like a child going to the Father and saying to Him, you know, thank you, help me. And you know that God the Father hears your prayer because He sees a humble heart. The byproduct of pursuing Jesus is life of joy and peace and contentment and everything else happens in this life. You cannot explain it. You have to experience it. When you try to explain what I'm talking about now, it's not explainable because everybody's different. But I'll tell you, once you experience, you'll know it. There's some right now today. If you could give a testimony, you could give a testimony that God was good to you. You knew He was. And someone else said, I don't know, that looks so good to me. But they didn't know where you were at. They didn't know where you were coming from. They didn't know the burden you carried. They didn't know the situation you was in. They might not have needed it. They couldn't understand it. But you experienced it. Brother, you could explain it, but they couldn't understand it. Hey, I'm not preaching some way out of the way. I'm preaching something that's needed in our life to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord as we serve Him this side of eternity. And Jesus said again, what shall a man profit? He loses his own soul. He should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. This shows us that we need another definition of success in life. So the child of God is called to be the light of the world. We are called to be the salt of the earth, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. So cultural success is very different than biblical success. Could you at least say amen to that? Amen? Cultural success is different than biblical success. And God Almighty will take biblical success in the eyes of men and make you successful culture-wise if you'll let Him. And when you do, then you'll give Him the glory for it. And God will take that glory. Number three, what we expose our children to will help determine that what they become potentially in life. As they grow up and get into fresh things, I said in the Sunday school class, fresh things that come through your mind, and they take and adapt these things in their life, potential in life is going to be what they are. Our children will be exposed automatically. Please hear this. If they're born in our family and we don't do anything at all to curb the situation, set the standard biblical, not something we just have it on crawl, but biblical, then they're going to grow up in a world that's going to change them anyhow. Everywhere you turn today, the media thing, you're going to see the peer pressure over sexual things and materialism and prejudice as this sin-filled world just because they're alive. Life automatically promotes these things just because they're physically alive. You can't even ride down the road without seeing it on a billboard somewhere or another. You can't look at any type of advertising. You can't even walk in a lot of stores now without seeing things you are not to see. It's there. You know how Satan does? He uses every bit of it. The only thing that can counteract what you and I get in this cultural world is this precious book, and this is the Word of God, and first He tells us we need to know who Jesus Christ is before we don't understand any of it. If you're trying to, then that person is using the wrong thing in life. We cannot force them to follow and love God, but we can set the standards, and that's what God says. What is it? Someone said, well, I set the standard in my home. All right, is it biblical? There's nothing wrong in setting it, but is it biblical? I found this out. Setting standards at home You can't force those things. You can a little, but they get a time you can't force. But when you set a standard, it'd be biblical. Why? Because God will take that. That's when he's trained up a child in the way he should go. That's the reason why that even later, if one kicks out of the harness, he'll bring them back. This word is more powerful than our words. But something's gone today about us understanding what God is telling us that we're to do, and then leave it up to him to bring success in life. And I thank God that we can see that today. But we can expose them to the joy of knowing God personally. We can expose them to the thrill of being used by God through the power and the presence of God in his Holy Spirit in their lives. We can teach them that being religious is not an answer. Religious is empty. Religion is empty. Children are rejecting Christ today, but they're not rejecting dead and empty religion. The problem is that the Christianity in this world is so religious arena that they have Christ's name only. Listen, you can have Christ's name on your lips all you want to and not be saved. Satan is a mastermind of deception. I know it's a rerun, but ladies and gentlemen, you can't get in this world without being born physically, and you can't get into family of God without being born spiritually. And that's something we're losing today. Everybody you see just about saved. You ever noticed that? You go witness lately? Just about everybody's saved. Boy, heaven's going to be full. You better enlarge heaven instead of hell, Lord, because heaven's going to be full. Not from his viewpoint. If he's got to enlarge hell, and he says he did, since the devil's angels, there must be a place there more that has to be bigger than heaven. And God gives us the burden. We talk about our relationship and not rules only. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And therefore, we need to have a relationship with God, which gives a relationship that God can speak to our heart if I'm overbearing or if I'm not in the right way. He can speak to my heart about that, and it can be corrected, where it can be brought out, where a relationship, the rules are set to be that which in turn will help at that time or help when they get older. Because God's rules stand no matter where it's at. Listen, God's rules stand today as much as it did 100 years ago, and God's rules stand today a year, 100 years from now if he doesn't come back for the church as it does today. He don't change his rules. You say, but he changed his law. No, he didn't. His law is the same. He just gave us grace so we could be born into the family of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing this morning? Listen to me, folks. Please listen to me. Talking about a child of God. Did you know a child of God is related to God as his children? He's our father. We do not have to go in. Hey, God is the God of this universe. Now, we do go before him and bow. We worship him. But we don't have to act in military to him. He's our father. We can come right to the very... Hey, the Old Testament had to go through the priests of the system. If you're saved, you have a direct direction to the throne of God. You can be anywhere, any place, any time, and go right into the very portals of glory where God sat. Jesus Christ sat at the right hand of the Father, and we're there in him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting, not just standing. Everybody else goes into the presence of dignitaries, they stand. We're children. What an amazing thing that we could be called children of God. God has said, until you get home, this is what I want you to do. This book's full of that. Learn the Old Testament, how I brought you to that, but understand the New Testament is where you need to be your instructions and find out what I want you to do as far as the church. It'll help you to learn what I told Israel to do, but you need to understand. They couldn't keep the law. You can't keep the law. They're saved like you were, but it's a different method. And when you came, you don't have to worry about doing the Old Testament system. You've got Jesus Christ. You've got the Lamb of God. The blood is shed for you. So God's dead. Do this by making sure they're blessing and that your experience is redirected back to God. When you set forth what God is doing for you in the right way, then you redirect those blessings back to them that they came from God. You teach the child, and he'll remember or she'll remember that when they get old. Dads do this by saying, look at the way that God has blessed us. Sometimes a child will say, how? And then you can say, well, look what you got. Look at that. You know, we couldn't have this if God had not blessed us. And let them understand blessing comes from the Lord. We need to show that we need God. Rely on him because God is our source. He is our comfort when we are hurting. But he's also our comfort and source when we're not hurting. It's always there for us. God corrects us when we get off the path by guiding us in his righteousness, which convicts us of sin. God transforms us in Jesus Christ because he loves us, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed in your mind, you might prove, was that good and accept the will of God. And number four, church is not simply a portion of one's life. Someone said, well, I just have a church part of my life. No, what we learn in church will help us in the world, if God is speaking to us. God's church should expose children to the thrill of being used of God in this world, and not just the thrill of just being in service. Sometimes you say, boy, thank God, I've been in a great service. But what's it doing when your pavement hit the pavement out there? What's it doing when you're trying to reach someone for God? Or even does it move us to reach someone? If I have the joy here, certainly that joy to carry out when I go on that street to try to reach someone for the Lord. Don't let Satan sap away the spiritual growth that's needed to learn how to lead someone to the Lord. I'd rather witness 1,000 people and they turn me down, not witness nobody. Because, see, listen, I had to learn as a child of God, my witness is not determined how many I win to the Lord. My witness, I'll be found faithful to try to win them. I can't save a soul, neither can you. But God can, and he does through his people when we try to go. I thought about God's church should expose them to thrill. Parents should never ask their children, do you want to go to church today? Can you imagine? Let me ask you this. Suppose you, I don't know, got an age child, and you get up in the morning and you go say, do you want to go to school today? No? Okay. Next day, do you want to go to school today? No? Okay. Do you want to go to school today? The next day? No. You say it a long time, someone will be knocking on your door. Amen? Sooner or later, you say, hey, you got to go to school. Until you get of age, will you make that decision yourself? What I'm saying to you, it should be that the house of God will be a place where you go to learn, worship God, but yet it, don't just leave it in the house when you can leave the doors on that when you go outside the door. Some things in life are not optional. You don't ask your kids, do you want to go to school? I mean, I don't think anyone, maybe someone has said that, if someone said, I don't want to go play ball today. Well, you don't let your team down, do you? A lot of times that will do it. Because most of the time playing ball is better than going to school, right? But that's the thing about it. What I'm saying, do not overrule church for other things and never overrule other things for church. Because this is where God meets with folks. We're family. Did you know that? In Jesus Christ this morning, we're family. And we're just like any family, except this is a family of God. We have right to standards. This is the... When you began to not set a standard or began to set that which is needed as far as in life, in the home, then it sends a wrong message sometimes to kids. At least expose them to the thrill of knowing God uses them. If they do not make the choice to surrender their lives to him for his service up front, give something that God can use later. I've seen this out, and I've been here long enough to know and it blessed my heart because sometimes... you don't see what I see. But when I see a teenager raised in this church and they leave, make a profession of faith and leave later and come back as a grown person and sit in my office and say, Preacher Edis, if I had listened to you, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. They remembered that God spoke to their heart over something I didn't know anything about. And God Almighty showed them when they got older as he brought them back to the realization of what it meant to serve God and what it meant when they made a profession of faith. Aren't you glad God gives second chances too? I thank God. I thought about Peter this week. Man alive, can you imagine Peter, what he did, cursed and swore he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? And he wept down, he was concerned, and even when he had no idea how the Lord's going to accept him. Don't you know it was a joyful thing? When Jesus told to go and tell the disciples where he was going to be at and also tell Peter. Don't you know that brought joy to his heart to know that God singled Peter out individually because Jesus knew what Peter had done. Peter knew what he had done. But Peter remorse, prayed before God, but he didn't know at that time. He didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have today. But Jesus said, you tell him to come. Thank God for that. Because you and I have to realize our Father loves us enough. He forgives us, but he also corrects us if anything should is not that shouldn't be there. It don't mean everything happens. Sometimes God Almighty allows things to take place so he can show Satan that God's children stand for him no matter what it's like. He did Job. So don't go counting something when something happens in someone's life, that's because they did wrong. It may be the best person in the church. God just saying, hey, some people run from me, not my children, they run to me. Whatever happens, you can mark it down. You can mark it down. They're come to me more so than ever. You can do all you want to them, but they won't go back on me. I know them. Satan, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing to a point. You've seen people do things and they do things and you think they'll do that, but they won't do that, he said, because they trust me. Dads, we must understand that if we want our kids to see God, please hear this. We have to understand that if we want our kids to see God the Father in the Bible, then we must let them see God of the Bible in their fathers. Do you understand that? I say, may God Almighty help us, dads, today to expose our kids to the joy of knowing you personally as God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God, let them see you're not ashamed of the one you're trusting in. Let them see that your whole life starts and ends with what the Lord wants you to do. Now read Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, and I'll close. If you turn there with me. He said again, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Aren't you glad? I wonder, Lord, you said when he is old. That means give him time or give her time. You just watch. You train it up the way. There's only one way, and that's through the scriptures and set the standards and do it in a loving way. And then the time will come when he is old. He'll return back to that. May God help us do this for God's glory, knowing that he will keep his word. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. This has been for dads today to help, not to scourge. Lord, I know for a fact we know who you are and we know how much you love us. And Lord, there's not one in here would not agree that what children of God did years ago and given their lives today, there's so many things that takes place. I wonder how many this week have witnessed anyone about the Lord. And yet it's an important factor in life. One of these days we draw our last breath. Lord, I pray again that you gave me my first breath. Help me use my last breath for you. Help us today to see as we look at our family how much you loved us that Jesus went to Calvary, then how much we love them. Help us realize that when we walk the path that you'd have us walk and try to talk the talk in turn which sets the standard, that we want it to be biblically, Lord. And we also want them to understand that if they can't understand it, God will show them one day if we stick to it. And the day will come when they will find themselves having children and remember what Dad said, or he may be Mom, but in this case today, what Dad said, and try to build that in the midst of a crooked generation, which God would have built for his glory. Bless every dad here, everyone who may hear this message later on the radio, those who may be looking at you stream now and hear it through you stream later. Help us understand we're not alone. Lord, help us in a cruel and ungodly world that's against you. I don't care how much religion this world has. Religion don't get it. It's easy to have religion. You put it on, put it off. But a birth is a reality. And if what you do for us, we're going to thank you and praise you. And I pray if there's one here hurting today, someone may be listening to hurting, let them realize there's nothing that one has done or will do that God can't close the gap and show that his arms are still open. Help someone see the day that what they need to do for your glory first, which would be for anyone's good. And what you do for us, we're going to thank you and praise you for it. Lord, if no one in this church today gets anything out of this, there will be someone down the road will. Because I don't believe a message ever preached and kept like we kept here through the years, that it's not just for now, but for someone else later that might have to hear it. Or, as I've done many times, counsel with people and give a message that I preach and let them listen to that message and answer questions that I could never answer. Because when they're listening, rather than trying to just communicate, God, you can speak to the heart. You see things we never see. You can touch things right on the very pin that need to be touched. to help some wayward heart or soul that's seeking something. And we know this, you're always there. You said you never leave us, forsake us. Thank you for that. And what you do, we're going to thank you and praise you now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.